Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We've all heard or used the phrase, "Don't judge a book by its cover." It's an idiom or metaphorical phrase that means we shouldn't judge the value or worth of something by its outward appearance. Because appearances can be deceiving, because things aren't always what they seem. So I want to ask us, have any of us ever judged a book by its title? So for example, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is about a lion, a witch, and a wardrobe. But the book Little Women isn't actually a book about little women. Or the book How to Kill a Mockingbird isn't an instructional book on how to hunt and kill mockingbirds. So I wonder how many of us have judged the fourth book of the Bible, Numbers, by its title. Are there any of us who've never read or even considered reading the book of Numbers because we think it might be similar to a math book or a book filled with statistics or other kinds of numbers? Well, I think that the book of Numbers has gotten a bad rap. So let's set the record straight a little bit. The book we know as Numbers has the title In the Wilderness in Hebrew. Hebrew is the original language that the Old Testament was written in. And when the Bible was translated into Greek and then English, its title was changed to Numbers because the first couple of chapters recount a census that was taken of the Israelites after they left Sinai, after the giving of the law. So the book of Numbers isn't really about numbers. It's in the wilderness, and it tells the story, the history of the Israelites as they wandered through the wilderness following their departure from Sinai and before they entered the promised land. It's actually a really lovely book of the Bible, and I encourage you to read it sometime. So today's Old Testament lesson is a story about God's presence and God's provision in the wilderness. Sadly, the people can't see it because their faulty memory has them weeping for what they left behind in Egypt. They are so preoccupied with the nostalgia from their false memory of the past that they are unable to recognize God's presence and provision for them in the present. Now, on the surface, it appears that these community-wide complaints are about food. Listen, if only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. I can almost hear an adolescent's voice. There's nothing at all but this manna for us to look at. Not only are they misremembering what life was like in Egypt, somehow they've conveniently forgotten the back-breaking labor and the drowning of babies, but they have a dissatisfaction for what God has provided for them in the present. Their ingratitude, their craving for something other than what God has given them, has caused them to reject God's provision. Their false memory and complaining has them longing to return to their lives of slavery in Egypt. You know, the good old days. Both God and Moses are angered at the people's complaints. Moses has had it with the people. He's weary from their complaints, which are blinding them to the grace of God at hand. But God doesn't give up on the people. God doesn't leave them behind in the wilderness. Despite their complaining that what God has given them isn't good enough, despite their ungrateful and greedy behavior, God stays with them. God, who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God not only stays with them, but God offers the very gift, the very spirit that God had first given to Moses, and extends it to dozens of others to help Israel as they continue to journey through the wilderness. We are journeying through a wilderness ourselves. We are 19 months into a global pandemic that we really thought would just last a couple of weeks. And although our wilderness is different in some ways than the one that the Israelites experienced, in some ways it's similar as well. We find ourselves in this in-between season. We are in between pre-pandemic life and post-pandemic life. Like the Israelites, we are living still in a lot of uncertainty because we don't know when or how this in-between season will end. And we don't know what life will really look like afterwards. I've heard many folks say that they just want the pandemic to be over, and don't get me wrong, I really, really do too. But I've also heard many folks say that when the pandemic is over, they want to go back to normal. But the truth is, we can't go back. We cannot go back to the way that things were. We can't go back to a pre-pandemic world or a pre-pandemic life. Because we have been through a pandemic, we're still in the midst of it, and the world has changed, and we have changed. In wilderness times, God is always with those who wander through it, and God uses the wilderness to transform us more and more into the likeness and fullness of Christ. In their wilderness struggles, the Israelites focused on the past instead of the ways that God was with them in the present. Their nostalgia hindered them from experiencing the presence and the provision and the grace of God in the present. We need to resist the temptation to want to go back to the way that things were and instead witness the ways that God is with us in this wilderness and the ways that God is caring and providing for us in it so that we can go into a future more fully transformed into the likeness of Christ and a future in which God is calling us to love and care for our neighbors. So in the midst of this wilderness we find ourselves in, we are learning that we are a little bit more than the Israelites than we would like to admit. God has saved and redeemed us. And in the waters of baptism, we are buried with Christ, dying to sin and rising again to new life. And yet we crave and desire that which enslaves us instead of the freedom from sin that God gives. We aren't always satisfied with God's gifts and provisions. And so often we crave for and complain for more than what God provides. Whether it be money or possessions or social prestige or something else, we so often force God to accommodate us and our desires. We forget that God's provision is a gift and we somehow twist it into something that we think we deserve and something that we think should serve our own self-interests. we, like the Israelites, demand God's grace on our terms, and it prevents us from seeing and experiencing the grace of God that is right in front of us. But just like the Israelites, God doesn't give up on us. Despite our complaining that what God gives isn't good enough, despite our selfish and greedy behavior, God stays with us. God doesn't abandon us in our sinful ways. God invites us to God's table to receive forgiveness of sin as God feeds us with Christ's body and blood. And God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit who abides with us and within us forever, journeying with us our whole life long, even in the wildernesses of life. Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a wilderness that none of us wants to be in, but we are not here alone. God is with us, steadfastly and faithfully abiding with us, even in our sinful ways. And God is at work transforming us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might become more and more like Jesus, so that even while we're in the wilderness, we can love and serve others with the love of God, but that when this wilderness is over, we can go out into the world and help transform and love the world that God so loves. Truly, our God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.